Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another interview in the interview series with people who've woken up at thetruthisyou.com. I'm Travis here again, and I'm here today with Christine Wuschke, who's a yoga instructor and a, I don't know what we would say, an awakening, a voice of awakening in the wilderness. she's been writing about what it means for in her own journey and her own thoughts about what it means to wake up to who you really are. For how long have you been writing?
I've been writing on my blog for 4 years. I mean, I've been writing my whole life, but I just started sharing it 4 years ago.
Awesome. Well, for quite some time then, and for a fair sight longer than me in any event. So we're here today to sort of explore that issue. And Christine, why don't you introduce yourself and let people know what you're all about?
Sure. So I guess as far as the writing goes, I'm writing a book right now called Freely Human. And essentially it's about 3/4 of the book is my journal, my personal journal entries of various experiences that I've had, mystical experiences and awakening experiences, and then transformation and integration experiences. So a large part of the book is really sort of my personal journey. And then the other part of the book is just sort of like a, not really an instruction, but sort of like a universal way of putting what I would call awakening and transformation. So the way that I see awakening is that there's different stages in awakening. And there's sort of like the initial, you know, epiphany or realization of that I'm not a person, or I'm not maybe stuck inside the person is a better way to put it. So there's sort of like a release or an opening into just spaciousness and consciousness and a just expanded awareness. So that's sort of like what I would say the first, you know, sort of like the opening or how the, you know, the bud opens. And then what I found is that after that, there is a landing of that or an integrating of that back down into the humanity and a merging of the two, so that there's no longer a separation between higher consciousness and humanity. And then after, so it's almost like there's three phases. And then, you know, after that sort of deep integration, then there's the freedom to just be human and sort of like the return to humanity, but in the sense of being completely free to experience the full spectrum of human experience, emotion, thought. And so because there's no longer an identification or a sense of being stuck inside thoughts can be experienced freely. There's no sense of being stuck inside an emotion, so an emotion can be experienced freely. So I guess my message is more about that transformation or that shift from the sense of being isolated or stuck to the release or the freedom, and then the emerging back, the integrating back into the humanity and having everything sort of flow together seamlessly. So I guess do you want me to talk a little bit about my personal journey or?
Yeah, if you could, I think that would be really helpful for anybody who's, you know, just determinedly started off on this path to have some idea of what it's like for somebody who's maybe stepped a little bit further, you know, insofar as it is a path at all or whatever. But yeah, if you could talk a little bit about what it was like for you to open up to that and then to start to reintegrate that. And also if you could touch on any barriers or challenges that you experience along the way.
Yeah, that's awesome. My first awakening experience was when I was 6 years old. And it was an experience of just pure consciousness. So there was no, it was like an identification shift. So there was no sense of I am Christine. It was just, I don't know what I am. I'm just openness. I'm just consciousness. I didn't even have a word for it at the time. Mm-hmm. And then there was like a re-identification, you know, as I, so from the time that I was 6 to the time that I was 16, there was again, there was an identification with the personality mm-hmm. or the character of Christine. And then at the age of 16, there was another awakening experience where again, it was like, oh, I'm not Christine. I'm this expanded consciousness. This is so great. And then there, you know, and then it came, it contracted again. And then when I was 28, there was another opening, but this one didn't close again. So that's sort of been my journey is sort of seeing the oscillation between being open and free and being stuck inside a thought or a belief or what I would call the personality or the character. Or the role that I'm playing out in the world. The experience of being stuck inside that was extremely painful and uncomfortable for me, especially having had the freedom, you know, to contrast it to. It's like, oh, right. I feel claustrophobic in here. Ah. So I really suffered a lot, especially in the period between the age of 16 and 28. There was a lot of a very deep suffering and almost like an anguish. It's like, oh, like get me out of here. And I didn't like being human and I didn't like being here. And so when I had this shift, the first shift that, or I maybe I should say the big shift that I had at the age of 28, it was like an opening into, okay, I can be here. Because everything expanded out and there wasn't a sense of being stuck inside or identified with the personality, there was an openness and a different perception. So now I could see the thoughts and I could see the belief systems and I could see the emotions from a bigger vantage point. And every once in a while I'd get stuck back inside there.
Right.
And so it would be, you know, almost more and more and more uncomfortable every time I would have that sense of being contracted. Mm. It was like worse each time in a way because it was contrasting to this open, expanded freedom. And then I'd get more and more used to this freedom sort of as like a default position and then contraction would hit and I'd get stuck inside a belief or a thought and start fighting with life or resisting life, and then it would almost be, the pressure would increase and it would be painful. So at some point, I guess it was about 2 years ago, it was almost like there was, okay, it's time to totally let that go. And it was really, for me, that was when I started sort of, see, how do I put it? Coming back into humanity, coming back into just total ordinary humanness. Mm. But from a place of being really free to experience the full spectrum of humanity, because there was no longer a stuck inside it type of experience. So for me, that's the, when I say freely human, that I guess that's the experience of no longer being identified with the isolated aspect of the human experience or the personality aspects or the roles that we play out in the world. Mm-hmm. When there's no identification with that, when the identity is like just free and open, then you can play with the roles. You can jump in and out of them because there isn't a sense of being trapped in it. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's the free, that's the freedom, is just being completely open. And then what I found for me is that I was able to be more receptive to life in that way. So available and open, and like, oh, okay, I can meet life and I can be touched by life. Like there wasn't a sense of an inside and an outside anymore, which initially there was. You know, pretty much my whole life there was the you know, sort of like blowing open experience of expanded consciousness, and then going inside and being trapped inside thought, belief, emotion, sensation, and then being out and being free, and then being back inside. I always felt really claustrophobic to be in there.
Right.
And then whatever happened 2 years ago, and I don't even have words for it, it was like it blew the door off or something. So it wasn't an inside and an outside, just an openness to all experience and humanity and thought and everything that we experience as a human being. So then it became really precious for me. Like, oh my gosh, this is such a precious gift to have a human form to experience all of this and the senses and just all the different things that come along with being a human could be experienced now freely without that sense of like stuck inside, get me out of here, all those different.
It almost sounds like, in a way, I think everybody experiences when they're going through their teen years, especially this sense at some level of this is not right. You know, this is not who I'm supposed to be. And I think ordinarily maybe part of that is caused by the building up of the walls of contraction and the walls of identity. And it sounds almost like because at such a young age that was made conscious for you, that was brought into awake awareness for you, that sort of natural teen angst kind of thing was magnified because you could see it actually happening. Does that match what you're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always because, I mean, I never forgot the experience of when I was 6 years old and how everything was so free. And I could never, so it was like that was always there in the background, knowing that this was possible. And so when I would start to feel stuck inside a belief system, it felt so contracted and so contained, and almost like there was just too much under pressure. Mm-hmm. So it was like I longed or I needed to get back into the space that I had tasted. And then again, having the experience at the age of 16 of totally expanded consciousness, it's like, oh yeah, see, this is totally possible.
Right.
You know, so it's, you know, a lot of teachers I've heard will say something, like sort of compare it to like being asleep and being awake. Awakening is like, you know, when you're in a deep sleep at night and then you wake up and you're like, oh, it was just a dream. I think for me that my whole life I've been sort of on snooze, you know. You know, so sort of, you know, like you wake up in the morning and then you just keep hitting the snooze. If you don't go into a deep sleep, you just kind of go into a light sleep.
Yeah, totally.
So I almost think, you know, part of because I had such a profound experience at such a young age that it's like, okay, I know that that's there. I know that this is possible, that I don't have to be there's, I know that there's a better way. I just can't find it right now.
That's a great analogy. I love that. The snooze button of life.
Yeah.
Awesome. So how would you, since this has been such an ongoing process for you, but specifically looking at that event of 2 years ago, how would you say that your life has changed between those two, sort of before that and then after?
I think it's because, I guess how it's changed is that it doesn't feel possible for me to hide to the degree that I used to hide. So I was always quite shy, you know, as a teenager and as a young adult, just very, I just felt very, like, sort of would keep to myself, just shy. And there would be, and I would sort of hide behind my role. So I would put on a mask in a way, like, okay, now I'm the mother character, so I'm going to, you know, put on my mother mask and be a mother. And not to say that those masks aren't there, but I feel like since that sort of what I'm saying, the door blew off, there isn't really a reason to hide or a need to hide or even a way to hide. So it's like, okay, this is just, I'm just me.
Right.
So if I'm having an awkward human moment, then I'm having an awkward human moment, then it's out there.
Nice.
So I think that's been the biggest thing. It's like the living with the, you know, how they have that saying, like, the skeletons in your closet?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, for me, it's like living with the closet doors open.
Right.
Perpetually open.
Right.
So whatever's in there, whatever's unconscious, it can come up to the light of conscious awareness. It can just be seen.
Right.
And then it's fine. It's just when it's not seen and we have no awareness of it, that's when those, you know, quote unquote skeletons would be a problem. Maybe an unconscious belief system or an unconscious thought that we're stuck inside and we don't know that we're stuck inside it. We just know we don't feel good and something doesn't feel right. So as soon as that's seen and brought into conscious awareness, then it's like, oh, okay, now, you know, I don't have to do that anymore.
It's interesting because, Papaji once said in a talk that somebody was asking about how can it be so, how can they have an external world that's so peaceful and beautiful, but their internal world is so in turmoil and upset. And he got this person, talked this person to the point where the outside world and the beauty of it was matching with the inside world. And then the student said, kind of on cue, what's the difference? And he said, well, between your inside world and your outside world is a door, a 2-inch door called mind. Take it off the hinges. And that was kind of like, that's that blowing, you know, the door off the hinges that you're talking about, sort of, right?
Yeah, that's very much the feeling.
And it also seems to me like, because that lack of separation is gone, the normal or the traditional sort of therapeutic process of bringing your internal process into conscious awareness, you're sort of push down and disown subconscious process is easier because, or just a more ready function because that doorway is not so much there.
Yes. If the door is blown off the hinges, then whatever is ready to come up will come up and there'll be nothing stopping it. So it just, you know, blows right up.
Right.
Yeah. So if there's something that's maybe making you feel stuck or it's like, okay, something's keeping me stuck. You know, that sort of, that thought that kind of comes up like, oh, I wish I could get past this situation and this person's driving me crazy or whatever's happening. And there's that sense of stuckness. So if, like I'm just saying for anybody out there who's listening, if there is that experience of like, something's keeping me stuck, to just let the door open on that, let it be seen, whatever, and maybe first drop into that on a feeling level. So it's like, okay, you know, say if this person is driving me crazy or this situation is continually coming up and I don't like it, to go down into the feeling, because that's sort of like the closet, that's the access to the closet where, you know, the quote unquote skeletons are hiding, is to get in there. Is to go into the feeling, whatever you feel.
Got it.
And then as soon as you drop in, as soon as you connect to the feeling, then you can just allow that to be there. Allow yourself to feel it and allow yourself, give yourself permission to have that feeling and experience that. And then in a way it's walked through. Then you go through the closet from the inside out. You just leave that. But if you're avoiding the feeling and not refusing to give yourself the permission to feel it, then you're keeping the door closed.
Right.
And so you're keeping an inside and an outside.
Right.
And it can't be seen. It can't be fully consciously 100% seen. And from my experience, and I'm a very kinesthetic person, so like you say, everybody's very different. And I can totally appreciate that everybody's really different. But I've been a very kinesthetic person my whole life, a very feeling-oriented person my whole life. So from what I experienced always was that there may be a feeling that I was avoiding, experiencing it on a feeling level. So like we were talking about the teenage angst.
Right.
So if there was like a feeling of anxiety or just inner pressure, like I'm not good enough, I'm not good, or I'm not approved of or appreciated, I don't belong, I'm not loved, or any of those types of beliefs, there would be a feeling associated with that. And it was like a combination of energy and emotion that was all sort of trapped inside.
Right.
So when I started actually doing some work and really kind of, okay, I'm ready to really look at myself and really get to the bottom of what these things are, that was when I started going into the feeling and like going into the closet.
Right.
And eventually the door just blew off.
Right.
But there, for me, there was an actual process where it was like, I need to get to the bottom of what this suffering business is all about. I really need to see what this is. And so for me, it was about avoiding the feeling. It was about avoiding the pain of life, of avoiding the pain of separation or being unloved or rejected or not liked or approved of or any of those things that sort of would stem back to the pain. And so I just started connecting to that pain. And I just go right into it and just feel it and allow it and allow the feeling of pain to just infuse every cell of my being. And eventually it's like there's no reason to resist. It's like at some point I just became one with the pain. You know, and that I think that was probably what blew the door off. Through this deep acceptance of pain.
Right.
For me.
When I is just coming up to match my version of writing my own experience of that is that as I got into, I mean, I'm very intellectual, so I very much compartmentalized and stratified all the different levels of experience, and then in my meditation practice or in my day-to-day, you know, practice pushing into different, you know, the standard sort of Vedanta, sort of the gross body, the subtle body, and the causal body, and Turiya. And at some point, I realized that there was an actual a physical contraction in my lower belly.
Right.
That had been there for, once I found it, I realized it had been there forever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for as long as I could remember. And then that was the contraction of self-identification. Like that's where I was holding that I am just this, right? As opposed to being everything, I'm just this one piece that's floating around and being tortured by other pieces who aren't doing what I think that they should be doing or whatever, right? And then so the physical feeling of that was a lockdown place in my gut. The emotional feeling was a keeping at arm's distance, like do not want this. And then the actual intellectual version of that was a no. Just there's a no to life. And when that knot opened up, the whole thing, all three of those happened. There was a physical release, and my entire way that I held my belly changed.
Right.
And in fact, eventually my whole body went through this sort of physical shifting. And then there was an emotional, okay, I'm in contact with all of this. I don't it's not like I have a choice about it. I am in contact and in conscious contact with everything that's arising, whether I want to say that I am or not, or pay attention or not. And then, of course, there was the intellectual yes to life, which came up. There was whatever is happening, I say yes to it first, mm-hmm. and then feel into how to deal with it. So that does that kind of match what you're...
It's very similar. Definitely, at some point, resistance just dropped.
Yeah.
And then it was like, okay, this was what the problem was.
Right.
Was that I had formulated some kind of resistance shield.
Right.
And that totally. Became this door, and it became an inside and an outside, and I was safe in here within my rules and my masks and all my ways of protecting myself. And there was the world out there that was very scary, and I didn't like it. And life was very unpredictable. And the whole thing now, it's like, okay, you know, life is actually completely harmless.
Right.
And there's nothing to protect from.
Yeah.
And at some point, too, I actually had a little bit of a funny realization. At one point, I was sort of meditating on this feeling of there being a door there, or like a wall. And I was meditating, and there was this experience of just complete formlessness. It just sort of like fell into place. And I'd have these experiences, sort of peak experiences, quite frequently. And so I had this experience of just total formlessness. And then as I was kind of coming back to the room, I started to laugh, because it was like, okay, everything is energy and everything is formless. And I think this wall is going to somehow keep that out. And I was just laughing and laughing, because it's like, okay, what is the point of having these masks? You know,
totally.
You know, life is going to come right through it and permeate it. So there's no point in protection.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. That kind of realization was, for me, was what I call getting the joke.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not... It's ridiculous to even think that we can hold anything back, you know. So if somebody were early sort of in the stages of this whole thing, and they've decided that they actually want to, you know, they're consciously making an effort to be a seeker or whatever,
yeah.
What would your advice to someone who's sort of in those early stages be?
I would say just let yourself seek. For me, I went through, you know, what I would call my seeking years, where it was like a phase of where I was on a quest to find a way to make these experiences I was having. I needed to make that permanent, because being contracted was too much for me. But at some point, and I was very diligent, like I would go into these things like full on. There is such a tenacity. But at some point, it's almost like the seeking burnt out.
Mm.
Like it was like it ran out of gas.
Right.
And then it just kind of fell away. But, and I've heard teachers say, oh, you know, like you shouldn't seek. But I kind of think if somebody had come up to me when I was 22, when I was very, very actively seeking, and said you shouldn't seek, I would have just started seeking for a way to stop seeking. There was no way I was ready at that phase. So I'd say that if you're seeking for inner peace or freedom or fulfillment or whatever it is that you're looking for, is to let yourself look for it until it just gets old on its own. And at some point it's just like, okay, this isn't working. I've got to drop.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So that runs counter to the sort of a lot of what comes up, especially in like the neo-Advaita sort of circles, where they're yelling at people, just stop the search, stop the search, stop the search. But you would suggest that maybe if somebody feels compelled to do that seeking, that they should just let that happen.
Yeah, go full into it.
Yeah.
Because I mean, you can't really mess this up. Every single thought you ever have is going to eventually fall back into its source, no matter what you do. So it's all perfect. It's all completely unfolding in a harmonious, perfection. I call it a fractal perfection. Like, if you ever watch, like, those fractal zooms on YouTube, it's like, oh, it's not even the way that I see reality. So everything is flowing in this harmoniousness.
Right.
And thoughts are rising and falling and rising and falling. They're always going to fall back into their source, no matter what you do.
Mm.
So you really can't mess anything up.
Mm.
So if you, from what I experienced, if I would go full on into something, I would just get tired of it and drop it.
Mm.
So to say, and it depends on the person too, because we're all so different. We're exactly the same at the core, or we're all the same essence, but we're all a unique variation of that. The expression of that essence is completely unique. So we're so different in the way that awakening happens or awakening is experienced, that a person who is like I was, if you had told me to stop seeking, I would have found a way to stop seeking, but that would have been my seeking.
Right.
You know, so it's like, it really depends on the personality type that you're dealing with, the type of person that they are. Because some people, if you tell them to stop seeking, that'll be it.
Right.
They'll just be like, oh, this is it? Okay. But
right.
Some people, that's not going to work. So really, I mean, it's a very individual thing, each person. But for me to allow something is the way to go. Like, to just, if seeking is there, allow it 100%.
Right.
And go full on into it. Just totally 100% allow it. Because eventually that stream is going to fall on its own. It's going to fall back to its source, just like everything else. It's just absolutely impossible to mess with that.
Nice.
So the more that you can just allow stuff to be as it is, the more,
right.
You know, that ease is going to just let everything's already happening. I mean, if anybody's listening to this and they're interested in awakening, they're already awakening. It's already happening. Like, they're already interested. So it's already on course. They can't screw it up. It's already happening. Especially when you look at it from that fractal perfection, you know, the totality, this harmoniousness. It's just all running out, playing out. So if you want to seek, seek. If you want to think thoughts, think thoughts. Just allow it 100%.
Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's key, is just to just actually let it happen rather than to fight that it's happening.
Yeah. I really think if a person hears about awakening and there's a spark inside and there's an interest inside, it's already lit. It's already done. It's like...
Right.
It's already on course. It's like, poosh, yeah, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because the interest is there. It's like, you know, striking a match.
Right.
It's going to, light's going to burn.
To poorly paraphrase Ramana Maharshi, actually, somebody came to him once and said, well, what if I want to stop? I forget how it was actually said, but like, can I stop the seeking? And Ramana said, you can try, but your head's already in the tiger's mouth.
Exactly.
So it's too late for you.
It's too late for you. Yeah, I've heard
right
it said, like, hair growing.
Yeah.
So it's like you can't see it happening, but...
But it's happening.
It's happening. There's nothing you can do about it.
Awesome. So if people wanted to learn more about you and get... into more of your writings, or maybe contact you, where would be the best resource for them to do that?
Well, I share my writings in two places. I share them to Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I have a new community page called Freely Human on Facebook. Or you can look my name, Christine Wischke. And so I share my writings both to Facebook and also to my blog. And my blog is called Journey to Light. And the URL is innerlightyoga.blogspot.com.
Innerlightyoga.blogspot.com. Awesome. Well, when I post this interview, I'll include links to both the community page and to the blog.
Yes.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Well, thank you so much for taking this time with me today, and I'm sure that the listeners got a lot out of it. I know I did.
Awesome. It was nice connecting with you.
Awesome. All right. Well, I'll talk with you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.